Hello and welcome to the broadcast for Sunday the 12th of July. While we're in lockdown, I'm just sending these out and hopefully there will be a bit of information and you'll enjoy listening to them. My name is Kuda. I'm one of the Sunday school teachers at Sittingbourne Baptist Church. Before we get going, let's play a little game. Okay, I am thinking of something and I'll give you 5 clues to try and work out what it is. I am thinking of a drink. If you can guess what drink it is, now you can have 5 points straight away. Okay, for 4 points, this is a drink you can drink any time of the day. I know, not very helpful, that one. For 3 points, this is a drink you can mix with other drinks or with food. So you can use it to make a dish. You can use it to make food. For 2 points, this drink contains a lot of calcium. Does that help at all? For 1 point, this drink comes from different animals. Okay, that's your lot. That's all of them. Did you manage to guess what that could be? If you guessed that I was thinking of milk, you're right. Because you can mix it with tea to make cup of tea with milk, and you can mix it with butter and flour to make a sauce, and you can use it in lots of different cooking things. Anyway, I hope that was interesting, if nothing else. So this broadcast is for the kids in the way, and we're looking at the 12 disciples, which is part of our series of things that Christians should know. I'm going to need your help a little bit. I need people to get in touch with me and let me know if there are other things that you can think of that you feel Christians should know that you think that I haven't covered. I've got another few things to add on to this list that have come to me while we've been doing this, and I was thinking, well, this is quite a chance for us to go through some of the basic things that Christians should know. So I am going to add on. Today is not the last in the series of 5 as I was expecting. But also, as I say, if there are any things that you would like to know or things that you would think would be interesting and fall under this category of things that Christians should know, do let me know by sending an email to youth@sbc-church.org.uk, and I will do a little talk about it. I'll research it and talk about it. Today's stuff, I've really have done quite a lot of internet searching and found out the information from a website called Euranthla Book Fellowship. So I can't really take the credit for some of the information, and neither am I going to take the blame for it if it's not correct. So the 12 disciples really were a group of men that Jesus chose, and some of them came by recommendation from one to the other. And these were people that they were very different. They were 12 very different men. And they sort of represented different types of personalities within the group. And we don't know a lot about all of them, but we do know quite a lot about some of them, and some of the traits and some of their different characteristics come out in some of the things that we can learn from the Bible. And I am going to try and stick to just what the Bible says about them, or backs up some of the research that I've done. I can't really say everything I've read about the disciples. I haven't got an idea of whether it's true or not, so I'm going to stay away from that. But some of the things were very, very interesting in the people that were around Jesus at the time. So, let's just get into it, really. So the first person who was chosen by Jesus to join and be one of his followers was Andrew. And Andrew was not married at the time when he was when he went with Jesus, but he and his brother Simon Peter were both disciples of Jesus. They were fishermen, and but the minute that Andrew sort of found out about Jesus, he decided to drop everything and follow Jesus. There was no doubt in his mind that Jesus had something, and Jesus was different, and he was worthwhile following. Andrew was quite a responsible disciple, and one of the things that he did was to help organize all the other disciples. So, he had that gift, and that was one of the things that that he used. His brother was Simon Peter, and they were quite different in their temperaments. Whereas Andrew was very calm and quite even-tempered, and he was very good at handling any disagreements that happened within the group. His brother, Simon Peter, who was the second person to join the group and one of the people that we hear the most about, he was very quick to speak. Simon Peter, he was married when he joined Jesus, and now he and Andrew were partners in the fishing business with the sons of Zebedee, who we'll talk about in a minute as well, because they were disciples as well. In terms of Peter would have been my type of guy. Peter was the person that I would probably relate to more. He was quite an optimistic person. He just was very impulsive in the things that he did and the things that he said. He was quite fluent and eloquent and dramatic, and he inspired people very strongly. This is seen like when he was speaking under the guise of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. But even before that, Peter was there asking lots of questions. He would be one of the people that would probably ask one of those questions. You think, oh, yes, I needed to know that, but I didn't want to open my mouth and ask such a question. But he didn't have that problem. He knew his mind fairly well, and if there was something that he just wanted to know, he'll be the first to ask it. So he sort of tends to swing from one side to the other. At one point, he's saying to Jesus, "No, you're really too important to wash my feet." But then when Jesus replies to him, he's there saying, "Oh, don't just wash my feet, wash my hands and wash my face as well." So he goes from one side to the other, really. At one point, he's the one who is there saying, "Jesus, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And then on the flip side of that, he's there denying Jesus. Of all of the disciples, Peter is one of two disciples that deny Jesus and turn their back on him. So really, really difficult. Although Peter is seen as being loyal and friendly, he does have a tendency to be slightly unstable and inconsistent. At one time, a servant girl just teases him, and with the teasing that she does, he denies Jesus from being his Lord and Savior. Having said that, he is one of the disciples who stay with Jesus right up until the end. He's there sort of in the shadows, trying to still show his loyalty and trying to be close to Jesus. So he doesn't run away from trouble. And he speaks even after Jesus' resurrection. He's there preaching and speaking and taking the gospel as far and as wide as he can. He's one of the first people to sort of stand with Paul when Saul became Paul. He stands with Paul and agrees that they should preach to the Gentile churches. But then, not long after that, he turns his back on Paul when he's and the Gentiles when he goes back to Jerusalem. So throughout, we can see where his character sort of changes every now and again. Then the next person we're going to consider is James. He is the son of Zebedee. He's one of two brothers that are in the group. James is, he and his brother are nicknamed the Sons of Thunder because he had such a quick temper. He was married when he was with Jesus and he was a fisherman, and he and his brother John were working with Andrew and Simon, and Simon Peter. If we just carry on calling him Simon Peter, it makes life easier. Simon Peter. So, and they were some of the people that had known Jesus for quite a long time because they grew up in the same area as Jesus when Jesus started his ministry. So with James, he doesn't have a really, really big part that we see in the Bible. But then he and his brother, when the Samaritans sort of come and start speaking against Jesus, they are there sort of saying, Jesus, we're going to call down fire from heaven to destroy these Samaritans for being so disrespectful to you. And then there's the other story where we have James and John's mother comes and asks that her sons be granted the honor of sitting on Jesus's left hand and his right hand when he goes up to heaven. Although really this was his mother's who said this, so we can't really say that James was trying to raise him up any higher than the rest of the apostles. But, you know, I don't know what put that in his mother's head, but there we are. John, the brother of James, he was not married when he was when he became an apostle of Jesus. And he's one of the people, along with Peter and James, who accompany Jesus a lot in some of the personal stories or the stories when the 12 disciples are reduced down to three. Peter, James, and John are the ones that stick to Jesus closest. And they are involved in quite a lot of the stories, like when Jesus was in the Transfiguration, when he meets up with Moses and Elijah. And John is the one who sort of says, shall we build an altar so that we can commemorate this and keep Moses and Elijah here, because this is such an important thing to have happened. But we don't really hear much about what his personality was, but he, in his writings, he calls himself the disciples that Jesus loved. Which Jesus never actually said that, and he never showed any preference for any one of the disciples, but that's how John in his writing sort of calls himself that. But John was seen to be very dependable and courageous. He was faithful and devoted to Jesus. And although he was the youngest member of his family, and maybe that's what made him be the person that would seek love and would seek to sort of think more about emotions and things like that. because apart from being the son of thunder, he then goes on to write a lot about love in his books in the New Testament. The books that he wrote, they talk a lot about love. And one of his ministries is he keeps encouraging people to say love one another. And in the First John, he talks a lot about love and how God is love and how to show the love that we have for God, we should show love one to another, and things like that. And again, he was very close to Jesus, or he considered himself to be very close to Jesus. And he stayed close to Jesus even up to the time of Jesus's crucifixion. And another part where John is referred to directly is when Jesus, from the cross, looks down to see Mary being comforted by John. And he says to John, "This is now your mother." And he says to Mary, "This is now your son." And then that made some people think that John was actually related to Jesus, but he wasn't. He was just Jesus handing over his mother and the responsibility of looking after her to John. And he did that. He did that faithfully and looked after Mary. And this is the same John who then went on to write the book of Revelation when he was in exile on the island of Patmos. Right, so we've looked at two brothers, two sets of brothers so far. Then we have Philip. Philip was the fifth apostle that Jesus called to join his ministry. And Philip, what we know about him is that he was very methodical, very systematic in his thinking. He was quite scientific, and he wasn't easily discouraged. He would stay the course, and he would work hard at what he wanted to understand. And he was the sort of person that when he wanted to demonstrate something, he would rather sort of say, "Come and see how I do it." If you look at the person that Philip calls to join Jesus is Nathanael. And when Nathanael sort of asks him, because Philip says to Nathanael, "I've found a great man, and this is the one that John has been talking about." Then Nathanael says, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" And Philip's response is, "Come and see." He's not going to try and explain this to Nathanael. He needs Nathanael to come and experience it himself. And that shows up in some of his writings as well, of how with Philip, it was just simply a case of, if you want to understand what I understand, you've got to come and see it for yourself and experience it for yourself. Philip is also known for taking, for helping to get the gospel to Africa, because he was, after Jesus's crucifixion and the apostles had started going out to different places to spread the word, he saw a eunuch from Ethiopia, and he explained the word of God, he explained the gospel to him, and explained how Jesus was the Son of God. And then this man asked to be baptized, and Philip baptized him. And then after that, the Ethiopian went back to his country, taking the gospel and passing it on to other people. So Philip was instrumental in that. Then we've got Nathanael, and Nathanael was someone that Philip knew. And they had been working together and following John the Baptist. And he was not married at the time when he started following Jesus. And he's known, of course, for asking that question, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? But Nathanael, although there's not much said about him in the Bible, he was somebody who was very reliable and very respected by the other apostles. And one of the things that he did for the rest of the apostles was to make sure that their families were well looked after while they were following Jesus and ministering to other people. Right, Matthew, who was also called Levi, he was introduced by Andrew, and his family were tax collectors. So Matthew was like a businessman, and he sort of helped to bring money that the disciples needed for living and eating and all of that. And he helped to finance the ministry that Jesus had. Okay. He made a lot of notes about the things that Jesus was saying. So it was easy for him to write the Gospel of Matthew in such detail, because he wrote lots of notes during the time that Jesus was ministering. The eighth apostle that we're going to talk about is Thomas. His other name was Didymus, which really looks very weird because it's D-I-D-Y-M-U-S. One of the things that we know about him is that he was married when he started joining Jesus. And he was, he used to think a lot about the things that that were said to him, and he would sort of like really question things. He wanted to find out the facts about everything. So he was quite pessimistic in his attitude. But once he was convinced of something, then he was completely convinced, and he made up his mind that that was it. But of course, we know him quite famously for being the person who, when Jesus had resurrected and had gone to see all the other apostles in the upper room, and Thomas was not there, then he would, when he came back and they told him, he doubted their words. He said, I have to see it for myself. I need to be sure. And I need to put my my finger into his side. I need to see where he was wounded. I need evidence. So when Jesus came back, he showed Thomas the evidence. He said, I know you need to see this. So put your finger where I was hurt and make sure, you know, I want you to be sure. So that's what we know Thomas for, as being a bit of a doubter. And sometimes he is called Doubting Thomas when we read about him. Then there are two brothers who are believed to be twins. That's James and Judas, the sons of Alphaeus. And they, James was also known as Thaddeus. So in some of the, you know, some of the readings or some of the things, you might find that they say Thaddeus rather than James. And this was another Judas Alphaeus. So these two brothers, there's not much said about them. They were both married when they were with Jesus. And they were just very kind, big-hearted and generous people. That were part of the group of apostles. Number 11 was another Simon. This was Simon the Zealot. The Zealots were a militant group of people that were waiting for the Messiah to come. And they believed that the Messiah would be somebody who would have military strength and who would gather together an army to fight against the Romans. So they were waiting for someone who would actually come and take over the governing of their people. Now, Simon was quite an agitator. He would not cause trouble, but he was, he always looked for like the thing that would start off a revolution. That's what he was looking for. He was looking for signs that Jesus was going to start brandishing swords and start fighting the Romans. So that did cause a bit of a rebellious nature to his behavior. Having said that, he was very loyal to Jesus, and you know, and he never did anything to step out of line in that regard. And the 12th apostle we're going to talk about is Judas Iscariot. He joined the disciple. He joined John's disciples, and then he later on started to follow Jesus. He was a great thinker, and he was the treasurer. So he was good with money. He was good with finances. But there was a little bit of some dark areas in his life. There were some dangerous ideas that he had, and some things that where he felt a little bit disappointed about things. But the big day for John, for Judas, came when a woman was grateful for Jesus forgiving her sins, and she broke an expensive box of incense at Jesus' feet. And this seemed just such a waste to Judas, and he could not see how Jesus would allow this woman to do this and to waste so much money when this money could have been used to feeding the poor or other things. And then this really seemed to be the part where it started to show some of these emotions that were deeply hidden in Judas's life. You know, things like hurt and where he had been hurt in the past. It is believed that his parents disowned him because they were Sadducees. And when he started following John the Baptist, they disowned him. He had accumulated a lot of hate and malice, prejudice. He was jealous. And he was one of the people that thought that Jesus, a bit similar to Simon the Zealot, he thought that Jesus should be more forceful and more militant in his behavior. And part of the thought of why Judas would betray Jesus in the way that he did for 30 pieces of silver was that he was thinking that if I put him before the Romans, surely then he would raise up this army. Surely he would then show his might and his power and even maybe call down heavenly angels to fight on his behalf. So he really thought, some of the thinking is that Judas thought he would help Jesus to show his might. So he didn't actually think he was betraying Jesus. He thought he would be working with him. So Judas seems to have had, you know, all of these problems going along, and it was a little bit unchecked. Some of these thoughts were not sort of controlled. And although Jesus would have known that Judas was harboring all of these emotions, he didn't sort of do a lot to stop it because it was part of the process of how everything was going to play out. So Jesus found it easy to forgive Judas, but yeah, the world and people really do find it difficult to forgive Judas for betraying Jesus. So the main purpose of outlining all of these different personalities is to show you that Jesus knew all of his disciples and he knew their personalities. He knew their strengths. And it took all of them working with him to reach out to more and more people. And Jesus chose these men not because of what they were at that time, like Simon Peter, who is my favorite, I must say, because I think he's sort of really similar to my personality. Open mouth, ask the question, and then just sort of apologize later, maybe, you know. So Jesus knew all of these different personalities, and he didn't sort of expect people to be perfect. And he doesn't expect us to be perfect as we follow him. He just wants us to follow him, listen to his teachings, obey his commandments, and be the best that we can be. He doesn't ask us to change our personalities. All of these people were working together for one goal. They were all people that knew the word. They had been brought up to know the scriptures. And they were people that were faithful to the cause. And, you know, even Simon Peter, even though he showed signs of not really fully understanding what Jesus was saying, because Jesus had to say to him, "Get thee behind me, Satan," at one point, because what Peter was saying was so against where Jesus was going with the ministry. So they didn't fully understand. And Jesus doesn't expect us to fully understand everything he asks of us, or everything to do with the Bible right from the get-go. All of these things would come, and he works on us a little at a time. So don't wait to be a perfect example of the person that you are. Jesus doesn't want that. Jesus just wants you, even though you might be raw and unpolished and not quite there yet in some areas. That's fine. Jesus knows everything about you, and he accepts you on that level. So don't feel that you have to be something special to be with Jesus. All you have to do is to love him and accept the invitation that he gives you to come and be part of his family. So the 12 disciples were such different characters, and that's what the body of Christ needs. Our family of God needs different characters. We need you in the family of God as you are. You don't have to be getting things right. You don't have to say the right things at the right time. You don't have to agree with everybody. The body of Christ is made out of different colored people of different heights and lengths and widths and everything. And it's that sort of family, that sort of person that can join the family and make it more exciting. So if you're sitting on the fence wondering about whether you're good enough for God, you are good enough for God, because he takes you at whatever level you are. I have got a song that I'm recommending that you listen to. It's about the 12 disciples, and it is available on the church website. And if you're looking up on YouTube for it, it's the one that's called "There Were 12 Disciples." It does go a little bit mad and it does get a little bit loud, but these songs have been very popular with my kids, and I hope you enjoyed them too. So let us pray. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that the 12 disciples that we learned about today were such different characteristics, and they were so amazing in the way that you were able to use them to spread your gospel and to make a difference in this world during your ministry. Help us to see ourselves as one of your disciples, as one of the quirky, different, quiet, responsible one, whatever our characteristics are, and to know that you can use that you don't expect us to be perfect, that we can come to you just as we are. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I hope you're keeping well, and do get in touch if you would like to. Bye. God bless you.